This evening we will study together from Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, all the way through to verse 42. Let us read together from verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. Verse 25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Verse 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this evening we will study together many precious truths that the Lord had taught us that is written in Matthew chapter 10. Let us begin studying them together from verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now, my dearly beloved, being born again Christians and being his disciples, the Apostle Paul tells us that if we were to walk in the footstep of our Lord after the gospel of godliness and live a lifestyle of godliness, we are bound to suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 writes, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, my dearly beloved, be not surprised that once you become a born-again believer, you will suffer persecution, just like our Lord himself had suffered persecution from the Pharisees, from the scribes, and of course, those groups of people are filled with the power of darkness and simply are out there looking for problems and trying to find fault with our Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, I remember vividly when I first became a born-again Christian, my parents were absolutely angry with me, and they had forced me to worship their idols, which I had refused, and then they threatened me with all kinds of words, including that if I don't worship their God, then of course they will not support me financially and will not put me back in school in Singapore. At that point of time, I was still young and my parents had sent me to Singapore for my English education. And so as a result, once I became a born-again Christian, at that point of time, my parents would use anything, whether it's threatening. My mother would cry sometimes and would argue and would scream or would get upset with me. You name it, anything and everything. I had to bear being persecuted. However, the Lord God that I worship is an absolutely true and a living God, and I cannot buckle down simply because they had persecuted me. On the contrary, I had decided to bear through the persecutions. For 28 years I had prayed for my mother, and finally my mother came to Christ 28 years later. After that many years of prayers, and my father also came to Christ after 20 years of prayers. You see, my dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father is absolutely merciful, and He is a God who is absolutely kind and will always hear our prayers when we steadfastly pray and keep on praying. And of course, just like our Lord Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." So ask means keep on asking. Don't just ask for a year or two and quit. Keep on asking and persistently come before the throne of grace. And when the time comes, the Jericho wall will collapse and our prayers will be answered automatically according to God's timing. Nonetheless, let us continue to read verse 26. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." Now, my dearly beloved, are you aware that every single conversation of every single person are recorded by the angels day to day and so on? Simply because I can tell you one thing, our Heavenly Father, He is an absolutely just and righteous God, and He is not going to weigh our sins and judge us on the basis of more or less. There is no such thing as more or less in the kingdom of God, especially when our Heavenly Father is so detailed You see, if you look down on verse 30, our Lord Jesus Christ says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And it says in 31, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And the Amplified Bible writes, are not two little sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's leave, consent, and notice? You see, every single thing of God's creations are all known by our Heavenly Father. Now, keep in mind that our Heavenly Father is a very detailed God, and He's absolutely holy and absolutely precise. In other words, the God that we worship is extremely precise, and He's 100% precise, while we who have fallen into the law of sin has lost precision and become what we call fallible. And our Lord God is infallible. And our Lord God has three characteristics. One is He is a God of omnipotent. In other words, our Lord God is all powerful. And He is the Lord God who is omniscient. He is the Lord God who is all knowing. And also He is the Lord God who is omnipresent, which means He is everywhere. You see, simply because the Lord God that we worship is a spirit. You see, He's the Holy Spirit, and we are in the flesh forms. For that reason, we have limitation. We cannot be in everywhere at the same time, while our Heavenly Father is everywhere because He is a spirit, you see. And He's not limited with time and distance or material obstructions, simply because God is a spirit, and of course, He is the Holy Spirit. And our Lord God is three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one same God. Now, how do we know that our Lord God is omnipotent? In other words, He is all powerful. Now, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 19, verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, God is all-powerful. Everything is possible with God. And also in Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, nothing is impossible with God. Everything is possible. And also Matthew 17, verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You see, all things are possible with our Lord God, simply because He is an all-powerful God. There was a story of Abraham and Sarah, who had no children. And the Lord God had promised Abraham to give him a child by the name of Isaac. And so here comes the story of Abraham and Sarah when they were very, very old. And I shall read this passage for you. And I want you to listen carefully to this story. Genesis chapter 18, verse 10 to 14. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Genesis 21, I continue. Verse 5. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so shall all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. You see, my dearly beloved, the Lord God promised Abraham and Sarah a son, but the Lord God had decided to give Abraham and Sarah a son when they were very old, when Sarah had no longer menstruation. Now, if you use your common sense, a woman that does not menstruate can never have children simply because they do not ovulate anymore. That's just a common wisdom. However, when they were both very old, and when Abraham was 100 years old, Isaac was born. And with man, it is not possible, the Lord God says, but with God, all things are possible, you see. And so the word of our Lord came to Abraham, and of course, to Sarah. And the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And indeed, when Abraham was 100 years old, then his son Isaac was born unto him. You see, my dearly beloved, you have got to keep in mind that the Lord God that we worship is all-powerful God. Nothing shall be impossible with him. The question is this, many times you have a heart of unbelief simply because unbelief comes from the power of darkness. It does not originate from our flesh. Of course, once we have fallen into the law of sin, then the power of darkness controls our heart and mind. And obviously, the power of darkness sends the spirit of unbelief in the heart of millions of people who choose not to believe in Jesus. That is very sad, isn't it? But our Lord tells us, if you believe, all things are possible to those who believe. So the question is this, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to save you? Do you believe that God can do anything and everything, just like our Lord Jesus mentioned? You see, our Lord Jesus tells us not to be afraid, but only believe. If you believe, all things are possible to those who believe, you see. Now, perhaps you would say, well, I am not so sure whether that could happen today in our society, simply because Sarah was a few thousand years ago, isn't it? Let me tell you this way. I have a testimony to share with you. What exactly happened to Sarah also happened to me. Now, I have the same problem. Just like Sarah, I could not conceive and give birth to a child. And I've been married for 14 years. And finally, I had to come before the throne of grace to cry before the Lord and pray for 4 hours before my son was given to me through the word of God. Now, let me put it this way, my dearly beloved. My mother was still a Buddhist then, and she had challenged me by saying, if your God is true, why is it that you cannot conceive and keep on miscarrying? Now, my dearly beloved, I must tell you that I have miscarried 3 times, and according to the doctor, when I first miscarried my child, the OBGYN would not pay attention to it simply because it is a common case. But by the second time I miscarried, according to the OBGYN doctor, he said to me that your chances of having a child is approximately 25%. And by the time you miscarry on the third one, the chances of having a child has dropped down to about 1%. So at that point of time, when my mother challenged me and said, look, If your God is real, why are you not having any child? And my mother said, in our family, that means my mother and sister, we don't have the issue of miscarriage. If your God is real, how come you don't have a child? You see, at that point of time when my mother challenged me with her words, it pricked to my heart instantly. The challenge of my faith in Christ Jesus, isn't it? And so I replied to my mother by faith, and I told my mother, I said, Mother, don't you ever worry simply because the Lord will provide me a son. Now, my dearly beloved, at that point of time, neither did I know that I am going to miscarry 3 times in a row. You see, I've miscarried probably once or twice. I can't quite remember, but I have miscarried. And my mother was very concerned of the very fact that I've been married for such a long period of time and still I could not have any children. However, I have told my mother with faith and I said, don't you ever worry, mother, for the Lord will provide me a son. And so by the 3rd time I had miscarried with my last pregnancy, I had to come before the throne of grace and desperately cried to the Lord God simply because the doctor said, by the 3rd time I miscarried, the chances of having a child is only 1%. In other words, literally almost zero, isn't it? However, the Lord God that we worship is absolutely alive today and living and true. And I want you to listen to my testimony, especially for those who would like to have children, to come before the throne of grace to pray. So I did. I went up to my room, my prayer room upstairs in my house, and I began to cry before the Lord God with all of my heart, soul, and mind. And I began to confess each and every one of my sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus. And then I began to petition simply because I had told my Heavenly Father that my mother was a Buddhist and I've got to have a child simply because it is a challenge of my faith. And if I don't have a child, I told my Heavenly Father, how could I prove to my mother that Christ Jesus is living and very much alive and he is the only true God? I've got to have a child in order to prove my mother wrong. So I began to pray and cry before the Lord God, just like Hannah, Prophet Samuel's mother, cried. And I began to cry to the Lord God and persistently pray and pray and pray from midnight all the way to probably 4 o'clock in the morning, crying before the Lord God. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to me as I opened the scripture. Believe it or not, my dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father is absolutely alive and real. As I opened the word of God, it falls open to Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verse 9 and verse 7. Let me read these 2 promises that God had promised me when I came before the throne of grace to petition to have a child out of desperation. The word of God says, Isaiah 66 verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? And verse 7 writes, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man's child. Now, my dearly beloved, these 2 verses are promises given to me out of the whole scripture. You can try to flip open your scripture and it would never arrive to this page. And when I have seen these 2 verses, I praise God simply because the Lord God had a proof. Not only he will give me a child, he will also give me a son. And what is amazing about these 2 prophecies in my life was the very fact at that point of time I had not conceived any child, and I came down with these 2 verses, the promises of God, and showed them to my husband and to Uncle Dong, who was my spiritual teacher. And Uncle Dong said to me, he had studied the scripture for so many years and he had never paid attention to these 2 verses before. Now, what is interesting about these 2 verses is, number one, it says right here, before she travailed, she brought forth, And before her pain came, she was delivered of a man's child. So I knew instantly that I am going to receive a boy. You see, I'm going to get a son instead of a daughter, simply because it says right here, she was delivered of a man's child. You see, a man's child referring to a boy. And secondly, the prophecy of this thus came true simply because it writes, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man's child. My dearly beloved, few months later, I conceived according to the word of the Lord God, and Dr. Camrus, my OBGYN, was extremely cautious and had taken an extra step to look after me. And so finally, before I gave birth to my son, before it is the due date, Dr. Camrus decided that he would like to induce the baby simply because he's got to attend a wedding, you see. And he told me, he said, you know, I don't feel comfortable putting you into another doctor's hand simply because you have had history of miscarriages. You see, this precious pregnancy and this precious child of yours have got to be delivered with no problem. And so Dr. Camrus said that even though you're not due, you're just 3 days off. Now it's 3 days before it is due date, and it was okay to deliver simply because the child was mature enough to be delivered, and he has got to go to attend a wedding, you see, and out of town. So finally, he got myself induced, and of course, it says right here, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man's child. Isn't this amazing that before I even travailed, had pain on the birth, the doctor decided to induce, and true enough, nothing works, of course, on the natural birth, and I had to go through C-section, but nonetheless, the good news is my son was born healthy, and the delivery was absolutely smooth. And of course, I named my son Isaac, just like Abraham, who also named his Isaac, and Abraham had to wait 25 years before Isaac was born, and I had to wait 14 years before my Isaac was finally born. Nonetheless, my dearly beloved, I want to tell you this story simply because the God that we worship is absolutely true, and the Word of God is very much alive today by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And of course, my mother had to bow down to the very fact that the God that I worship indeed had endorsed the very word that I told my mother years ago. And I told my mother that I will have a son, even though at that point of time, I did not realize how difficult it was for me to even conceive and come to full term of 9 months. Nonetheless, the God that we worship had heard every conversation that I had with my mother and endorsed it. And praise God, my mother came to Christ 28 years later as I continued to pray before the throne of grace. And praise God, as my mother realized that the God that I worship is indeed the true and the only living God today. Now let's go back to that verse 20 says, that says, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Now, my dearly beloved, the Lord God that we worship is a just and righteous and holy God, and every single conversation and every single deeds of sins are daily recorded by the angels. Perhaps you would say, how do we know that? Well, let's take a look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 16. It writes, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now, my dearly beloved, I am sure there are many, many books that records every single conversation, whether it is of sins or of righteousness. In here it writes, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord. Can you imagine? If the Lord God records and heard all of our conversation, especially those who walk righteously before him, and a book of remembrance was written before him, can you imagine the rest of the deeds and the evil things that the world are doing? Are they not also recorded? Of course. You see, that's the reason why in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, 27, that the angel wrote the finger on the wall, telling the king of the sins that he had committed. You see, when King Belshazzar committed sins overboard and was weighed upon the weighing scale in heaven, there comes a finger that says, "Many, many tekel ufar sin." And many is interpreted as God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And tekel, thou art weighed in balances and art found wanting. And Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to Medes and Persians. Now, my dearly beloved, keep in mind that the word tekel means thou art weighed in balances and art found wanting. Are you surprised that in heaven, in the kingdom of God, there is a weighing machine? Of course, we cannot use the human term of weighing machine, isn't it? Simply because our Lord God is a spirit and he's all-powerful God, and so are the angels, a spirit. They don't need to weigh like we do using inaccurate weighing machines of the past, isn't it? And of course, even with our electronic weighing machine today, we can pretty much weigh somewhat accurately. However, in heaven, our Lord God has perfect weighing machine. And it says right here, thou art weighed in balances and art found wanting. That's why death penalty was given to King Belshazzar, written in Daniel chapter 5. Now imagine if King Belshazzar was being weighed and found wanting, and here comes the death penalty. Do you not think that every one of us are also given the same weighing machine? So you see, the Lord God tells us, our Lord Jesus said, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Every single conversation that we conduct today, whether it's in the bedroom, in the bathroom, in your mind, they're all known before our Heavenly Father and before the angels. And myriads of angels out there are assigned to do all of that recording. You see, that's the reason why it says right here on the word tekel, thou art weighed in balances and art found wanting. I don't believe that God just weighed the sins of Belshazzar, simply because he is a God of absolute just and fairness. Likewise, I don't believe he's going to guesstimate your sin. Right? That is not fair at all. That's guesstimation. That's not accuracy. No, God is not going to do that. God is going to weigh and write every single sin that we have committed and put it on the scale. You see, the good deeds versus the bad deeds, unfortunately for those who do not believe in Jesus, they are judged in the great white throne. For those who believe in Jesus, they are judged in the judgment seat of Christ. Let me read them to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, my dearly beloved, there are two groups of people. One is genuine believers, born again of the Spirit of God, they will be judged in the judgment seat of Christ, whether it be good or bad. You see, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all the sins of the past are all washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. And as you walk along the journey of the cross, you will be judged also on the works and the life of godliness, and whether we walk in absolute obedience to the Holy Spirit. And of course, as the sheep of the Lord who live a lifestyle of absolute victoriousness and obedience to the Holy Spirit, we will be judged. And of course, rewards will be given to us, and praises and honor from our Lord Jesus Christ, you see. However, if you walk like a goat and refuse to obey the Holy Spirit, then it is extremely dangerous, simply because the Apostle Paul writes in here, whether it be good or bad. You see, in heaven, there is no bad things, my dearly beloved. And the goats are judged and written just as in Matthew 25, when our Lord Jesus Christ says to the goat, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels." Likewise, the verdict that was given to the five foolish virgins, written in Matthew 25, verse 12, it writes, "But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." You see, these are the verdict for the goats and the five foolish virgins who are born again Christians, but walk according to their flesh and refuse to trade, like the one talent versus the two talent and the five, and refuse to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit, thinking that, well, I am saved and I'm going to go to heaven nonetheless, so I can do whatever I want to do. My dearly beloved, that is a lie of Satan, you see. Every single thing is measured and gauged and judged accordingly, whether it's good or bad. Just like the Apostle Paul writes in here, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So you cannot flounder in your flesh and walk in the flesh. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:13, if you walk in your flesh and refuse to mortify the deeds of your flesh, you're going to die spiritually. You're not even going to make it, simply because if you walk in your flesh and refuse to obey the Holy Spirit within your heart is not able to grow the life of Christ within you, and you will not be able to live a lifestyle of absolute victoriousness in Christ Jesus. And as a result, you would not be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus in the long run. I can guarantee that. And you will dry up as the dry branch of John 15, simply because you're not able to bloom spiritually. You see, so get that straight in your mind and in your heart, that just because you're born again Christians, it doesn't mean you can do whatever you like to do in your flesh. That is an absolute fallacy, and thinking that you will end up in heaven. You see, the book of Revelation writes right here, Revelation 3 verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." You see, my dearly beloved, it is very dangerous to have your name being blocked out from the Lamb Book of Life, written in Revelation 3, 5. Now, whose names are being blotted out here, do you think? It is crystal clear that these names belong to the goats and not the sheep, simply because the goat do not live a lifestyle of victoriousness in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the reason why our Lord writes right here in Revelation 3, 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." In other words, if you do not overcome, you will be blotted out And if you match that together, what the apostle had said, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. You see, my dearly beloved, we've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to obey the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit take over and fill our hearts. And we cannot afford to allow the world, the love of the world, to stifle us and capture us as Satan's captives and prevent us to be transformed and conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many, many born-again Christians today that are still living a lifestyle of selfishness and are not filled by the Holy Spirit. For that reason, my dearly beloved, if you are one of those people that walk in your flesh, I would like to remind you not to take the grace of God and be overconfident by saying, well, I could do whatever I want to do and walk in disobedience and continue to take that route simply because it's going to take toll in the long run. The life of Christ within you is going to be stifled to the point that you do not look like Jesus, you see. Do you feel that way? Be very honest with me. If you do, then you do need to repent and ask grace and mercy according to the truth of the Word of God, so that the truth of the Word of God will begin to transform your mind and remove the lie of Satan that is in your head by saying, well, now that I'm born again, I can do whatever I want to do. My dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul tells us, whatever you sow, that you will reap, you see. If you sow to the flesh, you shall reap of the flesh corruptions. And if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, my dearly beloved, once the Lord God has given us the Holy Spirit, we've got to obey the Holy Spirit and begin crucifying the flesh in order to finish the journey. Being born again of the Spirit of God is just the beginning of the entrance to the door of the narrow path. It is not the end of the journey. I pray that you would be clear to realize that being born again of the Spirit of God is just but the beginning of the path of the cross. And it takes absolute obedience to the Holy Spirit in order for the Holy Spirit to grow within your heart in terms of the life of Christ so that you can look like Him. Now for those who do not believe in Jesus, let me read Revelation chapter 20. Where your endings would be, and how the Lord God's going to judge you. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And in verse 10 it writes, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, my dearly beloved, if you are unbelievers, you will be judged in the great white throne, just as it writes right here. At that point of time, as it writes in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You see, my dearly beloved, everything will be judged someday. And the books in here are open. Just like I mentioned, in Malachi, we've got one book of remembrance for the righteous. But on the other hand, we also have the book of life. And of course, I'm pretty sure there are books out there that records every single deed as written right here as well. So you see, every single conversation, every single deeds and works that we have done in the face of our Lord God will all be revealed and unveiled, just like it says right here, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known." Is this clear? You see, our Lord Jesus Christ already mentioned right here, it will all be revealed. Every single thing, simply because the Lord God that we worship is so detailed. If he can number our hair on our own head, he will count every single detail that occurs in the life of his children as well as the life of unbelievers. Likewise, verse 27, it says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." This is what exactly I do, simply because when the Holy Spirit tells me to share it out, then I will open my mouth and share with you what the Lord had touched my heart with. Now, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." My dearly beloved, if you have yet to believe in Jesus, I can tell you one thing. Please repent of your sins and turn around as quickly as you can. Humble yourself before the Lord God and ask for mercy and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and wash and repent each and every one of your sins by the precious blood of Jesus so that you would not be thrown to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Simply because our Lord Jesus Christ writes in here, "Fear not them which kill the body." Don't worry about those temporal things that kill the body, you see, but worry more. Fear rather those that can kill the body and then the soul in hell, simply because that is forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. You see, as God's children, we don't have to worry anything about the temporal, not to worry about physical death, simply because physical death is a nick of time. You don't even know it. Just like the Apostle Paul writes, "Absent from the body is present with the Lord." I remember vividly, I think I did share this testimony with you about the missionary by the name of Ian McCormick, how he died in the hospital simply because he was poisoned by the box jellyfish. But he got saved on the last minute prior to his death. The very moment he closed his eyes, he was instantly in darkness, in hell. And of course, later on, he was being moved to heaven. You see, all of that story tells us that absent from the body, instantly is present with the Lord. Now, what is scary is this: that when you are in the lake of fire, just like Ian McCormick, when he went into hell, he had no form. He touches his own hand, there is no hand. He touches his own face, there is no face. And he was thinking he was in the hospital. Then he realized that he was in absolute darkness, which is hell. He was thinking that he would be looking for a switch to turn on the light, but there is no light, my dearly beloved. Now, this is a true story. And as a result, he was in what we call the Hades form. In other words, a spirit form. You see, without the body. Now, that is a real story. And I've shared that testimony, how he went to hell, and later on, he was sucked up into heaven. And he met our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father later on spoke to him and showed him the New Jerusalem, and of course, told him to read the Bible, and showed him about his mother praying for him for 20 years. All of those things are recorded, you see, in heaven, and is very well known. All of that detail by our Heavenly Father, you see, just like our Lord Jesus Christ writes in here. And finally, Our Heavenly Father had to tell Ian McCormick to read the Bible and preach to others about me. And then he went back into his body and came back to life, and he was recorded as being dead for 20 minutes. So verse 28, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, you see, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Verse 29, are not to spare a soul for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father's consent. And notice, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You see, my dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father is very lovely. He knows every single thing that has happened to you. If you feel in your heart that nobody has known the problem you've had in the past or what you are going through now, that is an absolute lie of Satan, simply because God knows each and every one of his creations. If he had known the two sparrows, which is worth only a penny, and everything that happens to the sparrows, God is in control of it. You see, the Lord God is an omnipotent God. He's all-powerful. And many times you think nobody knows you, right? Wrong. Our Heavenly Father knows you, you see, through and through. And if you hear my voice today, it is simply because our Heavenly Father would like to speak to your heart and to tell the truth. You see, many times God would use myself to speak to many, many people, which I've shared in many, many testimonies in the other preaching the other day. For example, my friend Peng, prior to his death, suicide of shooting a gun on himself, the Lord used my words to speak to him a month before his death. Little did I know that the Lord used my mouth to speak to him. Likewise today, if you hear my voice, I pray that you would repent if you have yet to repent. And if you're going through trouble, whether tribulations or afflictions, whatever they may be, I want you to turn to the Lord God and pray and ask for his mercy to help you. As God's children, we have the power to pray. Do you know that? As long as we abide in him, our Lord Jesus Christ says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. You see, every single thing that happened to God's children, God meant it well, so long as we love him, so long as we trust him. You see, Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Every single thing, simply because the ultimate destination is to predestine us to the image of his son, to conform us to the image of his son. So many times afflictions and difficulties are sent into our lives to mold us. And God knows every single thing that is in your mind, in your heart, what you're going through in the past, present, and your future. He even knows you before you were even born. Are you surprised of that? You see, the Word of God tells us the Lord God that we worship, he's a merciful, loving Heavenly Father. And of course, he's an all-knowing Heavenly Father. And he is everywhere. And of course, the very moment we receive the Holy Spirit in our heart, he indwelt in our heart, you see. And verse 31 says, fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, be not afraid, only believe. Don't forget that if you believe, all things are possible to those who believe. So the question is this, if you have any form of fear, I want you to repent of it, simply because fear comes from the power of darkness, and you've got to walk by faith. Anything that is not of faith is sin, the Apostle Paul writes. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, you see. We've got to walk by faith, not fear. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You see, if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you become a born again child of a living God and you walk righteously before the Lord God in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and of course you confess our Lord God before others, just like our Lord Jesus Christ says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now I remember vividly a brother who was imprisoned in China years ago. And he had suffered persecution. Of course, he was captured simply because he was a believer. However, before long, the communist supervisor in jail told him, why don't you do this? Just go ahead and lie and deny Jesus Christ in the jail so that they can set you free. That's all it takes. Just go ahead and deny Jesus. Just say you're not a Christian. And you'll be set free. That is so simple, you see. However, this brother replied to the communist supervisor by saying, you know, the scripture says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Heavenly Father. So he told him, I can't do that. If I do that, then someday the Lord Jesus Christ will deny me before a Heavenly Father. You see, this brother had to make a choice. In order to confess our Lord God as his Savior, he had to suffer afflictions and persecution and imprisonment in the communist China. However, later on, this brother shared one precious testimony and he said, you know, I praise God for being kept in the prison because outside of the prison, there are many, many people that were killed. And God protected them in the prison. And of course, he was set free to come to America and to share his faith. This is a real story, my dearly beloved. For that reason, all things will always work out, isn't it? For the good to those that love God. And of course, to the glory of God. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, my dearly beloved, as born-again Christians, just like I shared with you earlier, we will suffer persecution. You see, in here, our Lord Jesus Christ writes, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And our Lord Jesus Christ writes, I came not to send peace but a sword. In other words, what our Lord Jesus Christ literally says in here means that when you choose to believe in Jesus, you will suffer persecution, especially when you are a genuine believer. He was not saying that he's not the Prince of Peace. That was not what he was trying to say right here. He was trying to say that as you walk together with our Lord hand in hand, without question, you will suffer persecution one way or another. In China, it's a lot worse simply because at that point of time, many, many born-again Christians were imprisoned in China. Either you deny Jesus Christ or you end up in prison. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. And of course, in a family, persecutions. Just like myself, my mother and my father persecuted me. And for many, many years, my mother was not friendly with me. And every time we talked over the phone, she would always persecute my faith. Nonetheless, my dearly beloved, every single persecution in the name of Jesus cannot go without his reward in heaven someday, isn't it? So after all, if we suffer in the name of Jesus, let us rejoice. Likewise, verse 37, it says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You see, my dearly beloved, we've got to love our Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind, beyond our family members, beyond anything else in the whole world, in order for us to be able to journey to the finish line. If you have someone that hold your feet and tell you not to believe in Jesus, especially part of your family, then you will suffer persecution, isn't it? And of course, it will prevent you from journeying along the path of the cross, whoever that person may be. It could be your mother, it could be your father, it could be your son, whoever that may be. All of those obstructions will take place in our life and prevent us journeying to the finish line. Now, my dearly beloved, I must share with you one more precious testimony. When the Lord God put me through the test of death, through the chronic fatigue syndrome that cannot be healed by no doctors, and I was supposed to die, but of course the Lord God finally healed me and put me through the test of death, my final heavy burden was on my son. My son was only approximately 3.5 years old, and he was a little boy. And I told the Lord God, "You know, Lord," I said, "I'm not afraid to go back to be with you, but my son would be left alone with no mother. And that's my heaviest weight about going to be with our Lord God. I love to be home with Jesus, but how about my son?" So you see, the Lord God finally tested my heart to see whether I would let go my son and simply trust him, or would prevent walking in obedience simply because of my son. So at that point of time, the voice of the Lord came to me, and the Holy Spirit gave me this verse right here that we have just read. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." When the Holy Spirit spoke this verse to me, I wept, simply because I realized that the path of the cross requires my all, including obeying the Holy Spirit and the Lord God, and surrendering my son into the hand of my Heavenly Father to be with Jesus. And so finally, I agreed and nodded to the Lord God, and I said, "Lord, I am just going to surrender my child into thy hand, and I will go with you." My dearly beloved, the test of death is one of the most difficult one that I had to go through. Nonetheless, as I surrendered my all to Jesus, not only I did not die of the chronic fatigue syndrome, I was being healed and being filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? That many times our Lord God would permit something, a test, to come into our life in order for us to be able to receive his eternal reward. And it is all the grace of God that I overcame that temptations and surrendered my all to Jesus. However, just to let you know, that test comes to me as I offered my all to serve Jesus, you see, in order for me to be endorsed and be filled by the Holy Spirit. I've got to go through the test of death twice in 3 years. And when I finally overcame the test of death and no longer feared death, the Holy Spirit fills my heart, and all of a sudden, I could see the presence of the power of darkness wherever I go. That is the gift of the prophets that was given to me by the Holy Spirit. after the test of death. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. My dearly beloved, I've just said earlier, as we journey along the path of the cross, we've got to take up our cross, just like I mentioned the testimony of the brother earlier, as well as my spiritual teacher, Miss Esther Wong. They all had to bear their cross in order to follow Jesus and end up in prison in China. Being imprisoned for 20 years, Miss Esther Wong, she had to bear her heavy cross and obey to death. And obviously, she was ready to die. However, the Lord finally set her free from the prison in China in order to come to America to witness for Jesus and heal her of all her illnesses. Isn't that amazing? That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ says right here. There are times that we have to pay the price of following Jesus. And this is what he was talking about. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Likewise, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. In China, there are many, many so-called Christians. When the communists took over, then they revealed their genuine belief, you see. And many of them decided to cancel their name from the churches where they were baptized before and decided to join the communists instead. And so in here it writes, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So these people had decided to have their temporal life in China, and of course they do not want to go to jail. And so they quit on their faith on Christ Jesus. They become the communists and unbelievers instead of genuine believers. And so they lose their eternal life, even though they claimed to be Christians years ago prior to the coming of the communists. And likewise, Miss Esther Wong, my spiritual teacher, decided to lose her life, the temporal life on earth, in order to maintain her eternal life. You see, my dearly beloved, the path of the cross requires our all, including our laying down of our temporal life if we have to, in order to maintain eternal life. You see, the genuine belief of Jesus Christ is not an easy beliefism. It is not just going to church and sitting down and have fellowship and go home. That's not what it's all about. It is an absolute ferocious battle that requires your all in order to complete the journey. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ writes in here, he that findeth his life, his temporal life, shall lose it. You see, if you want your temporal life, you're going to lose your eternal simply because you can't walk to a journey. The narrow path and the broad way are opposite of each other. The world walks and behaves right opposite of the sheep. And the narrow path requires losing the temporal in order to receive the eternal. Verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You see, my dearly beloved, to receive a genuine servant of a living God is like receiving Jesus into your home. I remember vividly when Miss Esther Wong, my spiritual teacher, came to live with me in order to do God's work. I had given her the very best place in my home. That is the master bedroom, simply because I love her. You see, she was a genuine servant of the living God. Before the Lord took her home, I had given my best to her. And the Lord writes right here, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ had sent Miss Esther Wong, his servant, into my home. And obviously, with absolute joy in my heart I would entertain the servant of a living God. But I know someday, just like our Lord Jesus Christ says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You see, someday, each and every one of us that have genuinely served the servants of the living God in the name of Jesus cannot go unrewarded. And someday, when we return to be with our Heavenly Father, all of those deeds and rewards will be unveiled and given to us, you see. And all of these things are recorded by the angels, just like I mentioned earlier in Malachi 4, a book of remembrance was written. And of course, in the judgment seat of Christ, there will be books and the angels recording it, isn't it? Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you through the lessons and the word of God that we have studied today. And may the Lord fill your heart with his absolute faith to trust him in everything that you do, always remembering to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And if you believe, all things are possible to those who believe. May the Lord continue to guide you in the path of righteousness, remembering always, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.